So I got into this relationship, call myself falling in love, and then at that point, moved to Atlanta. But I felt like as soon as we got here, things shifted in our relationship. And we were in the in our house, and we had an argument because I asked a question. It was during, you know, the George Floyd time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm watching the news because I want to hear what is happening. Like, I'm very interested in what is happening. I am round the clock with the news. And they made a comment. I made a comment back. And their response was, well, you should get the fuck out.
You are now tuned in to the dopest podcast, What's Been Better, Sly and Lori Sit and Chop Game. So buckle up your seatbelts and open up your mind. What's Been Better is about to go live.
This is episode 12 of What's Been Better. This week, we're talking about being in the process of actively overcoming. How to move on when love goes wrong. If you've been here before, you know that we cuss. And if you're new here, please get used to it. Today, we're joined by Dee, another client of Lori's here in the Atlanta area. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Dee.
Hi.
How are you?
Sick, but trying to overcome. I'm trying to get good. Better. You know, this is a season for a lot of things, a lot of germs. And so I'm working on getting a little better, but I'm happy to be here with y'all today.
Yay. I'm glad that you're able to also.
Yes, I'm very thankful. I was like, how's she gonna do this? Okay, she's gonna do it. She's gonna fish through. Okay.
Yeah. It's rough, especially when you're like trying to be cautious in these day and age. And you're doing all the things and then everything still finds you. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. How?
Lori would say to me, there was a whole year I feel like I didn't even see your face. I didn't know who you were. And I'm like, because you always had a mask on. I'm like, I know. I am trying to do all the things. I do not know how I'm still getting sick.
Yeah. So it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
But well, I'm going to start then. I'll start with Sylvia.
Okay.
And since D, you know the spill, but what's been better, Sylvia?
So spring has sprung and almost all the plants are in place, including a new one from Lori.
Yay!
So if you saw on my social media, Lori gave me an echinacea plant. It was looking kind of rough, but they are in their place and they have sprung back to life. And, I'm very excited about that. Everything else is coming up, trying to make itself, you know, do right. I had to go back and look at old videos and remember, like, these are the steps that I took when I was in these situations before. So it's just a little bit of jogging my memory. So I'm grateful for TikTok, as per usual, to be able to just have that diary and go back to and be like, oh, I was supposed to do that and I skipped that step. So that's been good. My new gig that I told you about last week it's been interesting. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to share about it legally yet, but I will share about it eventually. And I survived the spades games.
You did very well, actually.
I feel better because I was worried, but I had a lot of coaching and I appreciate everybody that was there because everybody had a lot of patience. Yeah. And thank you, Mom, for the tip of however many think you have, bid one less, because that worked out.
Did you play spades here in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area?
I played spades with Lori.
This is a whole different energy. I'm from New York and play spades all the time there. And I try playing spades down here, and like people real serious. It's not a game here. This is, you know, I'm thinking it's just a friendly game. No. This is not a friendly game. This is we will flip this table over.
Yes. Like go back and listen to last week's episode, and you will understand like why I was so scared, because I am married to someone who, on our first like time playing, I thought I was really cool, and I reneged on the first hand, and he reminded me that there are no friends at this table.
So
I was hella scared to go to Lori's house and play spades with her, because that's her thing.
Well, how did that treat you?
She okay I'm gonna tell everybody Lori was on her word. She said she was going to be gentle, and she was. She said she wasn't going to, like, slam the cards down, and she didn't. And she said that, like, she don't talk crazy, and she didn't do any of that. So I was so grateful to be her partner, because she was just like, it's okay. It's all right. And then I was able to be Tommy's partner, and Tommy was like, he has the face of, like, you mess up, and he's like... So I had a few times I was like, oh shit, I messed up. But I knew what I was doing, and I was like, okay. So after the ham was over, I was like, is it because I played? And they were like, yeah, you should do this, you should do that. So and Drew was like, all is forgiven. He's not the same person. So that was good. I was like, okay, I think I could play spades now.
You better than me. I don't know if I have the courage to do it again.
It was scary. It was scary. It was super scary.
You could do it. So, D, what's been better? I know you don't feel well, but something I think would be better. So, share.
Yeah.
That.
So, a couple things. One, I this week have been able to sleep. As you know, Lori, I have been having trouble sleeping for quite some time. And I mean, I don't know if it's the medication, the cold medicine, prescription grade cold medicine that the doctor gave me, or just because life feels like it's moving in the right direction, a better direction, that I am finally able to sleep. I did not have a nightmare this week. So
that's really good.
Feels
that's
amazing.
Yeah.
Because I have been having nightmares for the past few months, and it's crazy. I feel like my whole life, I never really had nightmares, you know, maybe one a year, one every 2-3 years. And for the past, I don't know, 3-5 months, I've been having them frequently, and it's been very jarring to not be able to sleep. It's been very jarring to be, you know, up in the middle of the night and just feeling terrified. And so the fact that I'm able to get some sleep now and get through a night with no nightmares feels pretty good. It's definitely been better. Awesome. And today I'm moving. And that's so awesome. I am moving into a new spot. It's been a long time coming. And as soon as we're done here, I am picking up keys and moving into a new spot. Ooh. And so I'm super excited about that.
That's awesome. Back. Right. I'm over here doing backflip.
Really?
This is a long time coming.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, what's been better, Lori?
Well, as you know, Sylvia, I don't know if you know, Dee, I had a little bit of a breakdown in my last episode, in the last episode. I was in my feelings, as we all say, I was in my feelings. I had a lot of feelings. So what I'm learning is, as I share with my clients, I'm definitely doing that. Because I had to be my own client. I had to do a lot of reading. I had to really pull some things in, like I was sharing with Sylvia last week. This old Lori would do a thing, right? And the old Lori would cut your ass off and just, you know.
Right.
And so I felt that coming back. And it's not like I don't like her. It's that Lori is no longer needed in this space in my life. So I had to invite her to leave. So that's better. And I'm really learning to really understand how I'm feeling and really giving myself compassion. So I think that's definitely better.
Okay.
I feel a whole lot better about my
good
situation.
Good. Because that was, y'all go back and listen to last week's episode. It was a lot. I don't think my people have heard last week's episode because no one said a thing. So I'm guessing my little portion of that is still not going to be tackled anytime soon, which, like you said, it might be better. So, so yeah. Well, let's get this started. Like, Dee, as we said, you are a client of Lori's, just like I am a client of Lori's. We want to hear, how did you become a client of Lori's, and what's going on right now as to you having to move into a new place and you overcoming, and as we heard at the top of the show, what happens when love goes wrong?
Yeah. So, in the summer, it will be 3 years. I can't believe it, Lori, that it's already been 3 years since I very first came into your office full of tears. At that point, I had been with my partner for going on 5 years and had recently moved to Atlanta from New York City. When I came here, I had one friend living here, but no family, no job. When I met my partner, they were very clear that in a few years, they wanted to move back to Atlanta. Their family's here, friends, they love Atlanta. And, you know, New York City is really expensive. And so when our lease was up and my partner had a contract job, that contract was ending, we made a decision to move to Atlanta. And I felt like I had to do it because it wasn't like it was sprung on me. They told me from day one, like, I want to go back to Atlanta. And so I got into this relationship, called myself falling in love, and then at that point, moved to Atlanta. But I felt like as soon as we got here, things shifted in our relationship. And we were in the in our house, and we had an argument because I asked a question. It was during, you know, the George Floyd time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm watching the news because I want to hear what is happening. Like, I'm very interested in what is happening. I am round the clock with the news. And they made a comment. I made a comment back. And their response was, well, you should get the fuck out. And I'm okay. Like, it's the middle of a pandemic. You are telling me that I need to leave the home that we both live in. And so, you know, me being hasty and not trying to be the person like, well, I'm going to try to stay, packed my stuff and went to my one friend's house. And then I got there and I'm like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? Like, this is not what I want. We shouldn't have, like, I don't understand what's happening. I'm in a place that I feel like I don't know anyone. I don't know what's next. And so it maybe like 2 or 3 days later, we finally were in touch. And, you know, we started seeing each other kind of like an hour here, an hour there trying to talk. And my partner basically said, you have all this trauma from your past and you need to go see someone and fix yourself, because I feel like we can't be together until you go get help. And so I initially went to Lori because I'm like, okay, you know, I got issues. Everybody has some stuff, some baggage they bring in. And I'm not beyond looking at myself and being like, okay, how do I get better? How do I work on my shit and not bring that into my relationship? And so I literally went to Lori because I felt like I had an ultimatum. Like, go work on your shit or we can't be together. And so I went to Lori and attempted to start working on my shit. And it was not long, maybe a year later, that after going to Lori every 2 weeks, spending an hour talking, that one day Lori finally said to me, you know, you're dating a narcissist. And it blew my mind. And it was one of those things that, like, you know, I'm a clinician, a former clinician. Mm-hmm. I have a master's degree in forensic psychology, one in social work. I used to be a psychotherapist. And I remember the first day I went to Lori, I'm like, I don't know why I'm here. I feel like I want to do this, but I also don't know what you're going to tell me that I don't already know.
Right. And because you have the background.
Like, what is someone going to tell me that I don't? But I'm like, I'm going to do it because I never want to say I can't learn anything. And I will tell you, it has been life changing. Going to therapy, talking about the good, the bad, the ugly, myself and all my warts, being willing to see myself, has been transformational for me. But what it did was also help me to stop running from who my partner really was. And I'll be honest with you, those signs were present from very early on in the relationship. But as we all do, life is on a polarity. So you try to assign things to different things. So the possessiveness was more like, oh, they're really into me. The control was like, oh, they're trying to protect me from something. And by going to therapy and talking things out and sharing about myself, my background, my trauma, but also about the things happening in my relationship, Lori helped me to see so many things in a different way. that I could no longer run from the fact that I was experiencing narcissistic abuse, that my relationship was toxic, and that there was no way to fix it by me just going to therapy. Like, my partner needed to go to therapy. We needed to go to therapy together, all of which they were not willing to do. So, like, the problem's you. It's not me. You go fix yourself.
Right.
I've got to fix myself. And I don't have to work with someone for us to fix ourselves. Once you are fixed, then things will get better. And so that's how I came to Lori. I came because I was trying to save my relationship. And in the years that I've been in therapy, I realized that, like, I can only save myself. Mm-hmm. I was in a situation. And, like, I will say this. I don't want to just bash my ex, because I think it's important to recognize, like, one of the reasons I stayed so long. I mean, by the time our relationship ended, it was 7.5 years, almost 8 years. And one of the reasons I stayed so long was because it wasn't always bad. Like, everything wasn't bad. I've had some really great experiences with my ex. We have traveled the world. We lived a life of privilege. Things were not always bad. But I can share some of the things that, like, were present that I think sometimes, like, you don't know you're with a narcissist. Like, I felt like if I was with a narcissist, I would know. If one of my friends was telling me something that I was telling Lori, I'd be like, girl, you with a narcissist. That's not going to work. But for some reason, when I was in it, I couldn't see it. And then once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. It was like, it was so clear once I was able to acknowledge, like, yes, this is narcissism. So, like, when you're hearing, you're the problem. You're the problem, or you're too sensitive, or you notice that you're starting to become isolated. Like, I was moved away from my, with consent, my family, my friends, my job, my village became really isolated. When you're trauma shamed, when people make it as if, like, your past trauma has, now you have a deficit. And they will blame things on your past trauma that really isn't necessarily connected to your trauma, but it's a way to shut you down and end the conversation, or for them to escape some accountability in what's happening. When they easily betray you and tell your deep, dark secrets to other people who you did not give them consent to share your story with.
Is it similar to, in my head too, I'm hearing, like, how people wind up in a cult. Those lines.
Wow.
Like, they're just running parallel to me of, like, you had consent. You went to this meeting. You went to meet these people. You moved with them because you wanted to do. You listened to them tell you that you were the problem, that you need to be fixed, that you need to go to Jesus. You need to go to therapy. You need to go wherever. And they have the answer. It sounds exactly the same. Lori, I have to ask you, when you were meeting with her, at what point, like, I know it took, like, a year for you to say to her, but, like, was there an earlier point, and maybe she wasn't ready to hear it, that you knew, like, oh, she's with a narcissist?
No, not necessarily. It was, it was just over time as she gave me a little bit more and a little bit more, because initially, Dee was just sharing about her experience, and we were just kind of assessing her and how she was dealing with certain behaviors and things like that from herself, how she was responding to things. But the more I started to hear what was actually being said to her. What was being said to her in the behaviors that, you know, that person was displaying. And then how Dee was affected by it. You know, by that time, it was like, this is way too clear.
Right.
And this is the other thing. We throw narcissism and narcissists and all, like, that, we throw that around. But the truth is, rarely are people narcissists, because that is an actual diagnosis for an actual behavior characteristic. Some people have maybe two or three of the characteristics. They might not have all of them, right? Like, and so what it is they have narcissistic traits. So we really need to recognize that. But even more than that, if people are behaving in a way that demonstrates that they don't show empathy for you, and they demonstrate that you are to blame, like you are actually the problem, mm-hmm. and they don't have or show accountability, then it doesn't matter if they're a narcissist, an asshole, or what. Like, we need to see these things as they continue to cycle, because if it's one and done, that's one thing. If they own it, okay. But mm-hmm. if this is continuing to happen, I really want people to get this. We don't have to slap a label of narcissist. We need to recognize how we are experiencing this. And do we deserve this shit? Do we need to continue to stay in that space? So yeah, just to answer your question, I didn't know until I knew.
Okay.
So D, when you go to Lori, you talk to Lori, Lori finally tells you, okay, this is a narcissist. From that point until the point when you leave, what happens?
I think for the first maybe 6 months after that, I was not secretly trying to prove Lori wrong, but I'm like, let me see if this is really what this is. Like,
okay.
So Lori had me, Lori had me read a book.
Okay.
And so I read the book, and
what was the book?
Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Ooh, okay.
By Dr. Romani. And so Romani, I think is how she pronounces her name. And so I did that. And, you know, it lists very clear things. So I was saying, there's like, you're the problem. Isolation, trauma shaming, betrayal, seeking allies. I'm here in a place that I don't really know anyone. The pandemic was happening, so we weren't really going out. And so everyone who I know is connected to you, and you're talking all this shit about me, and doesn't really give me an opportunity to write my own narrative, because like, now you can have those allies. You're in a no-win situation. If I cry, I'm emotionally manipulative, but if I don't cry, I'm cold and don't care. So like, you can't win in that situation.
There's nowhere to go.
No, very selective memory about how we got where we got. So it's like, no, let's not go to the past. Let's not talk about the past. And it's like, you don't trust me, but can we talk about why? And it's hard to be with someone who doesn't trust you. Can we talk about why I don't trust? No, that doesn't matter, because that's going back to the past. But like, how do we resolve what happened? You know, I said sorry. Yeah, but sorry and accountability are two different things. You can say sorry, but you have never asked, how do we rebuild the trust? Mm-hmm. I know the trust was broken. I know it was messed up. Yes, I did get that. But I never got, well, how can we fix that? What do we need to do? What do I need to do to help rebuild trust? How can we rebuild trust together? That was always a bridge too far, so we could never get there. The gaslighting, man, that changed my life. Understanding what gaslighting was. The withdrawal of intimacy and connection, going months without sex, going months without a touch, just being starved emotionally. When your love language is a combination of words of affirmation and touch, and so you get neither.
Yeah.
We did the love languages book, so we're clear about what our love languages are, and I felt like it was like purposely withdrawn from me. And then
you did that with your partner?
Yeah, I did it, and then I asked my partner to do it.
Oh.
So that I could understand their love language, because I'm like, I think maybe that could help. Like, if you understand my love language and I understand your love language, we can cater to each other. And it just was weaponized. You know, like that got weaponized. Intimacy was weaponized. They would do things like go in the bedroom, a bedroom we shared, and close the door behind them. So then I sleep on the couch. And then it's like, well, why are you sleeping on the couch? You moved out the bedroom. Like, well, when someone closes the door to a shared room, that says to me, I don't want you in here, especially when it's not something that we do. Like, that's never been a pattern for us. And so once Lori told me it was narcissism and I started reading and looking into it, what started happening is like every time, it was no more like retroactively seeing like, this is what happened. It would happen. And in real time, I'd be like, oh, that's the gaslighting. Oh, now I'm getting love bombed. We can't talk about it. And the avoidant behavior, we're going to avoid this and shut it down. Or, I'm in a no-win situation now, because now I'm not crying and I'm trying to manage my emotions. Oh, she just said I'm cold and I'm mean. And look at the smirk on your face. Like, I don't know what the smirk on my face looks like, but you should see what your face looks like in this moment. You know,
That's so deep.
That so it was just all those things that once I saw it, that was the problem. I couldn't unsee it. And I feel like before that, and this is what I told Lori like a year ago, like before that, I think because I kept saying I felt stuck and paralyzed and like I wanted it to work. I had set up a counseling session. My ex said that they would come. And on the day of the session, they stood me up. And I remember going to Lori and I sat there in that session and I cried the entire time. Because I don't know why I had put all my eggs in that basket, but I truly believed, like, if we went to therapy. Like, here's the thing. I do think there were times where my ex was trying. And I know I definitely was trying. But we weren't trying together. Right? Like, you're doing the things you think I need. I'm doing the things I think you need. But we are not having the conversation so that we can actually do the thing together. And I thought that that's what therapy would help us do. Help us get to the uncomfortable space in a safe space so that we could then make a plan and be trying together on the same page, trying. And so I really was excited about it, hopeful. I had been trying to do it for like 2 years. They kept saying no. And so when, I'll never forget, it was December 10th. I still know the date. It was such a traumatic thing to show up at the therapy session and be stood up.
I'm just going to jump in there real quick because it is deep to hear her side. And then I have that perspective that was going on because when she came in and I knew that next session was supposed to be them two and she came in by herself, I felt a gut punch, my own self.
Ooh,
right.
Okay.
So as the therapist, we all have, we have feelings too. Right. And so I was hurting for D in that moment. I was painfully hurting for her. And I think I cried too. Like it was, they're going to be, sometimes the therapist is going to cry with you actually visibly. And initially, like you want to save and you have to resist that urge to save. But right then I was like, leave in my mind. I don't even know if I said that to her at that time, but it was like, it's time to sever this because when someone shows you who they are, believe them. When they show you, we do stay. And I'm jumping in real quick because our audience needs to know. I'm so thankful that Dee is here right now to share this, but so many people are going through this, like in intimate relationships, in mother-daughter relationships, in father-son relationships, in friendships, at work, at fucking work. This happens. And gaslighting is not just a verbal thing. It can be an action, like the door closed.
Yes.
And then why did you not come in? Motherfucker, you know why I didn't come in.
Right.
You know why. The door is always open. You close it and then you're going to ask me why I didn't come in?
Right.
You see, that's gaslighting. That right there. You act like I'm a fool. Are you taking me for a fool? You're not sharing how you feel. So gaslighting is lying. It's lying about how you feel. That's all gaslighting is. It's lying about how you feel and acting as though you don't feel how you feel.
Or and telling me that I don't feel how I feel.
Yes, that. So I didn't mean to jump.
It's also true. Like there's no justification for how you feel. So for example, like you get up, we're in this house together, it's the two of us. It's 11:30 at night. And you walk out the door, you don't say anything. And then when you're like, you don't trust me, it's like, who does that? It's just about common courtesy. And so I'm like, something could happen. Like, we watch The First 48 all the time. Anything could happen. I wouldn't even know where to say, where to start to look for you.
Oh, well, bare minimum.
And the response was, well, if you, I don't go outside fearing something's going to happen. And if you always look at the world out the crack of your ass, all you'll see is shit. And it's like, well, are you kidding me?
I'm no longer concerned.
Are you kidding me?
Playing traffic.
And if I did it, you would hit the roof. You call it so disrespectful. And so, yeah, the gaslighting was real. And I would say after that point, I think there was like, it crushed me. I'm not going to lie. It was crushing. And so it then took like another few months to lose hope. And I think prior to that, I had a lot of hope. And I think like me staying was rooted in, I've invested so much. I moved. I really do genuinely love this person. And I mean, I would wish my ex on my worst enemy, I'm gonna be honest, because that was brutal to go through it. Now that I'm out of it and I can see how damaging it was to me, I don't wish that on my worst enemy, but they're not a bad person. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. It's a weird realization. Like, you're not a terrible person, but you are not a good person for me. And so once I lost hope, then it was like, okay, I lost hope. And Lori, that session, Lori's like, well, what are you gonna do? I'm like, I don't know. And I was all crying. And at our, you know, next few sessions, she's like, you need a plan. So what's the plan? And I'm like, I want to go. And she's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I don't have hope. Like, what was keeping me there was hope before. And now I don't have hope. I just, I can't do this. And then it quickly went from like me staying for hope to me staying because like the impact of being with a narcissist had reduced my self-confidence. I kept saying I felt like I lost my mojo. I wasn't sure what life would be like going from a two-income household to a one-income household. I'm in Atlanta. I'm like, do I want to stay here? And so I then all of a sudden had all this fear. And I'm not genuine, like normally a fearful person, but I think once I realized it was bad, it was like, okay, now I got to go. And now I have to figure out a plan. And I want to go, I kept saying this, like in the least painful way. And it's crazy how it all blew up because it became like the most painful experience ever. But my whole exit strategy was around how do I go and like reduce the additional trauma? And I was a shell of my former self. I'm not even gonna lie. Like by that point, it had really stripped me down. I felt like I was giving up all the things that I cared about. I didn't trust myself to be able to take care of myself, even though I had been taking care of myself before I met my ex, like living on my own, taking care of myself.
I'm gonna insert another thing real quick while you keep going. And you can run the risk of becoming like the partner, right?
Right.
You can start the behaviors like, right. And so that's another thing, like while you're in it and you're hurting, you can start slowly to become that person. So that's another thing to be aware of.
Yeah, and you said that to me. I remember I remember Claire Day. You're like, are you doing the gaslighting now? And I was like, because like you telling me you want to go, but you're staying. And you just talking about all the vacations and all the great things that you've done. And you're still looking for an apartment. So are you the gaslighter now? And I'm like, oh, shit.
Leave it to Lori.
I'm doing it. And I kept saying, but I'm just trying to get out without it being crazy. And I feel like every day's not bad. And Lori's like, well, no, you need to have the talk. You need to be fair. You're now doing the gaslighting. And that was like a really hard realization that some of these behaviors now became projection. And I was doing the thing that I did not want to do. I had no peace, no joy, full of shame. Like I was completely stripped down. I was kind of looking for a place, but not really diligently looking for a place. And then early this year, it all blew up. And I went to see my family for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I have an alert on my phone for like when the motion detector goes off. And while I was gone, a woman visited my home 2 days in a row. And when I asked about it, I was told it was a work colleague. I can't do this. You don't trust me. I should be able to have who I want here. I'm like, you move real different when I'm not around, though. Who is this person? And I tried calling and calling and calling. They ignored me. And so I sent a text like, I'm not doing this anymore. This is crazy. Like, I'm never going to be in this situation again with you. It is completely disrespectful. And when I got back, they basically was like, well, you need to go now. Like, when are you going to be out of here? And I was hurt and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna figure it out. And so that was like on a Friday. And then on Sunday, I overheard them on a Zoom call with this woman, just talking so much shit about me, how I had been through all this trauma, telling this person that I'm sensitive and I have all this emotional instability because of my trauma, and that they finally told me I need to go and they waiting to see when I go. And like having a conversation where it was part, you're courting this woman, because I know what courting looks like. You did it to me. And you're also betraying me by talking about me in a home that we share while I'm home. Like, you couldn't respect me enough to go outside and have that conversation. You're telling her all this stuff. And it's like, if you could talk about me in that way, in a space that I can hear you, then you have lost all respect for me. And so, something I would never do, I walked into the office and I'm like, are you really talking about me? And they like got off the Zoom call and was just like, I can't believe you did that. You're so embarrassing. I need you to go. When are you leaving? When are you leaving? And so that was a Sunday. Monday, I called a friend. I looked around for places. My friend was like, you know what? Just get out of there. Come stay here till you figure it out. Tuesday, went and got boxes, ordered a U-Haul. Wednesday and Thursday, packed my stuff up, and by Friday, I was gone. And when I left, I was so crushed. And I had no idea what life was going to look like. I didn't know where I was going to live in the future, like going forward. I just knew that it had gotten to a place that it felt so disrespectful and bad that now I didn't feel safe. Like, I don't feel safe here.
So how are you today? How are you feeling about all of it today?
So yesterday was 3 months to the day when I left. The first month I was in shock and awe, cried a lot, ruminated a lot. The second month I was determined to get my life back. My birthday happened. I traveled. I checked some things off my bucket list.
Okay.
And for the past month I've been rebuilding. So like I said, I'm moving today. I found a spot, cute little townhouse. I started a meetup group so that I can meet people in Atlanta. And so I've been trying to go out, be out and about. I am continuing therapy. And one of the things that I think has been really helpful is to share. I realized that throughout my relationship, the only person I really talked to about things happening was Lori. Because one, I didn't want to be talking shit about my partner. Like with my family, once they know things are not good, like there's no recovering from that. Like, so they were going to hate my ex. And I'm like, I am not going to be like trying to still be with you. And my mama and my sister and my brother and everybody's like, no, you need to leave. So I wasn't really telling my family what was happening. And then I wasn't really telling my friends. Sometimes I'd be like, yeah, it's just tough today and stuff. But I never told people the details, like what Lori said. The first year I was there, I was sharing, but more about like me and my reaction. I realized I was protecting them this whole time.
I was literally waiting to ask.
Literally,
why did you protect them so much?
Like, it was disloyal to be like, you with this person, but you guys gonna talk shit. And it's so crazy that that's how it ends up ending. Like, it ends because I hear you talking shit about me. And the whole time we were together, I refused to talk shit about you. I talked to my therapist and no one else. When we broke up, everyone was so shocked. They're like, where's this coming from? Because you never told us you were going through all of this stuff. And so I was in protection mode. I protected them. And so the thing I've been doing over the past few months is really just sharing and talking. And what feels so hard is like, I felt like my story had been written by this other person. So all the people who we know mutually here, the only thing they know is what you've said about me. And most of which is not true or half truths. You'll say what the outcome is, but you never talk about the root cause and why we got there and the things you did, right? And so you'll just say, she doesn't trust me and I can't live with someone who doesn't trust me. But you didn't tell them about the time you let your ex sleep in our bed. Or you lied to me and said she was just a friend.
Right.
And I thought she was a friend all this time. And then I found out she was really your ex. And she came over and stayed and you let her sleep in our bed. Like, you didn't tell them that part. You didn't tell them that, like, for the first half of our relationship, you were keeping the door open with other people or, like, telling people I was just your friend when I was living with you. So, like, that's the thing. It's, like, all the half-truths. And so, I don't know, today I will say, you know, someone said to me the other day, your worst day is behind you. And that is, I guess, the message that I would share with someone who is in a relationship that is toxic. Or if they're dating a narcissist, it feels so hard to go. And the day I left and I moved out, I was so scared. I had no idea what my life would look like. But what I said to Lori is like, I will not lose my dignity in this. And I don't want to continue to lose myself. I have been a shell of my former self. And I'm just going to take this leap of faith. And so I'm not going to lie, it's been hard. There have been some really difficult days, me being stuck in like the rumination cycle, keep thinking about things, playing things over. I was having nightmares. I mean, it's been tough, but no day has been as hard as the day I left or the day I heard her talking about me and saying all these terrible things. So now I'm moving. I'm getting prepared to like furnish and like have a home that feels like a home, live in a place mm-hmm. that no one can kick me out of. I'm Yay. Looking forward to building life and doing the things I want to do. I have a trainer and that I'm back into Ariel. And I looked at my closet the other day. I'm like, I fucking hate everything in here. I don't know how my closet looks really? The way it does. I realized I was buying clothes and I have an argument. I got on a crop top right now. I haven't put on a crop top in probably 8 years. So like,
yeah, you gotta go. You gotta go.
It's like wow. just rediscovering who I am.
Love it.
Rediscovering joy. I realized that some of what I thought brought me joy doesn't. And so like, I'm trying to figure out what does bring me joy and do those things and being willing to take a chance. And so, yeah, I'm in a rediscovery mode. I'm healing. And I've spent, like I said, the first month crying all day, every day. Sometimes I cry, but it's not all day, every day. It's not regularly. I can actually get through a session with Lori without crying. And I'm
teach me your ways.
Yeah. And after being like losing hope for so long, I'm finally like hopeful. I feel like my fear factor is not at 100. You know, right. there's uncertainty, but not necessarily fear.
Yeah.
And okay. so, yeah, it's, I just want people to know it's possible and it's painful, but staying is painful too.
Yeah. I want to ask you this, Dee. What did you learn? Because this is what I'll say, and I'll say this until my dying day. Everything that happens to us happens for us. There is mm-hmm. a learning that yeah. comes. There's a sharpening that takes place. And if these things are not happening, then what the hell? You see what I'm saying? Like, we're supposed to be learning all the time and growing all the time. So this was a ordeal. This was an ordeal for you. But what did you take away from this experience? What was helpful?
A few things. So I would say I learned to trust my instincts. That a lot of what ended up happening at the end, it was surprising but not shocking. Because like those behaviors have been present from very early on, and I chose not to let them be and place them in like what they really were. So one, trust your instincts. Your instincts and that gut feeling you get, and when it feels like it's not right, like trust that and move in that direction. So that was one. Another thing is something you said to me, Laura. You told me very early on, you deserve what you desire. And yes. you also told me to make room for the life I want, the things I want. And I think those are like the biggest lessons. It's like, you know, I deserve what I desire and I need to make room for the life that I want. And if I stayed in that relationship, I would not get my needs, my wants, or my desires met. And I wasn't making room to build the type of life and family that I want. And so I think those are really important lessons. And you know, I spent a lot of time staying because I felt like I had invested and I did all these things. And what I will say is nothing goes wasted.
No.
I was looking at it. It's like, if I leave, then it's a waste and I wasted all the time. But actually, I love Atlanta. Atlanta's my happy place. It brought me to a place that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have learned the lessons and boundaries
and
how to set boundaries and how to stand up for myself. I was able to experience travel all over the world, and not that those things wouldn't have happened outside of the relationship, but what I try to do is think about all the things that were good too, and mm-hmm. not look at everything with a shit lens. Like, you know, something Laura and I mm-hmm. talked about recently is like, what would change if you could look at it from a space of all the benefits you got out of this as opposed to all the hurt? And so that's what I would say too, is that like, nothing goes wasted, but mm-hmm. you could either stay mm-hmm. and, or you could go and cry for like me, like for 2 months, mm-hmm. or you could stay and cry every day forever.
Mm. And I think it's too, it's like, first of all, that is amazing. Ooh. Second of all, is I get it because it's a, what is it called? The sunk cost fallacy of like, you put all this time in, you put all this money in, you did all these things. So you have to stay, you have to fix it because you've already invested in it.
Right. And it's almost like gambling.
Yeah.
And then have you failed? Like, I'm not a failure.
Right. It's not a failure. There's no failures. There's just lessons.
Mm-hmm. There's just lessons.
Yeah, exactly. Or I gotta convince you. All their losses
become lessons.
Exactly. Or I gotta convince you, like, why don't you see me the way everyone else sees me, the way I see myself? Right. Like, I'm doing something wrong. There's like we're lost in translation. No, I want none of that shit. Listen, narcissism is real. And and I think some of it is like, whether or not, like Lori says, you want to put a narcissistic label on it, the outcome, like the symptoms and then the outcome are the same. Like the things that happen, whether it's gaslighting, love bombing, withdrawal, you know, intimidation, control, projection, like all those things happen. And then like, what's the impact on you?
Right.
Are you feeling more confident or less confident? You know, I felt like in my relationship, the only time things were really good is when I was dimming my light. If that is a requirement for us to be good, for me to dim my light, for me not to talk about my success, I would have really amazing things happen career-wise, and I had stopped sharing after a while. I told Lori, I'm like, not even saying anything. Because all I want is a congratulations, let's celebrate, hug, and what I would get was indifference. And so, like, when your partner cannot be happy for you, happy for your success, when you don't feel good when you share, like, that's real, and that has impact. And so again, like, I think some of it is like, we think about how hard it's gonna be to leave, and I think that's what I was worried about, the fear of like, how it's like that they say the devil, you know, like, I knew what I was dealing with in the house. What I didn't know what life would look like when I left. And that fear paralyzed me until shit hit the fan. And what I will say is, my friend was right. No day since I left has been as bad as the days that when I was there, or the days when everything went terrible, or the day when, like, I finally had to leave. It's been hard, but I'm surviving.
I love it. Awesome.
Overcoming.
Yay. Look at, that's it. That's where we're going to put it.
Well, ooh, yes.
And if I say well, that's the well. Goodness. Dee, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your story. We want to see where this goes. I'm excited for you. I pray that you document it, not for anybody else, but for yourself, and eventually turn around and say, hey, look, you can do this too. Share if you're comfortable. For everyone else, if you have not already, like, share, subscribe, do something with this show, but do not keep it for yourself. Thanks for listening, and thanks for watching.
That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson. And you've been listening to What's Been Better.
A big thank you to Lagan Music, Inc. for providing our music. This show is edited and produced by us, with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.